bed, a trampoline, and playground equipment in the rear yard. And there's a storage shed. This is the proposed site plan. Per section 461, development standards for dwellings requires a minimum of 25 feet for the minimum rear yard setback for a principal building. The submitted site plan does not meet the required minimum rear yard setback. As to if there are extraordinary and exceptional conditions pertaining to the particular piece of property in question because of its size, shape, or topography. Currently, the existing principal dwelling unit conforms with the minimum 25-foot rear yard setback requirement. The subject parcel, as well as the adjacent parcels along Valleydale Way, have a minimum of 6,000 square feet of lot area. There are no extraordinary or exceptional conditions pertaining to this particular piece of property. As to the application of this chapter to this particular piece of property would create an unnecessary hardship. No hardship is created by the application of the standards of the relevant sections of the zoning ordinance. The position of the existing principal dwelling is such that there is no space in the required rear yard to construct an addition of any size without encroaching into the minimum 25-foot rear yard setback. However, the petitioner would be able to construct a second floor addition along the same footprint as the principal dwelling without requiring a variance. There are no peculiar conditions to the particular piece of property. As to the extent of the proposed encroachment, it would be a detriment to the public good, would impair the purposes and intent of the Chatham County Zoning Ordinance, as the request would leave a remaining 5'11" to an existing 25-foot required rear yard setback. The staff recommends denial of the 19'1" rear yard setback variance request from the 25-foot minimum rear yard setback requirement. Thank you. I am here for any questions as well. Derek Haynes from the Beaumont Builders Club LLC is here in person as well.
All right. Any questions of staff? All right. Who is here to speak on behalf of the petitioner?
Hello, everybody. My name is Derek Haynes from Beaumont Builders Club.
And sir, have you signed in to the
no,
if you would. Anyone wishing to speak, we'd ask that you sign in when you come to the podium, please. And give me your last name again, Derek.
Haynes, H-A-Y-N-E-S.
Okay. Would you raise your right hand for me, Derek? Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth will help you, God?
Yes.
All right. Thank you. You may proceed.
With Valleydale, the homeowner, I don't know, I guess the times, you know, the homeowner has wanted to need more space, wanting to buy a new house, but she had some hardship, husband died, and she's trying to handle things herself. She's just got teenage kids that needs more room. You know, and she's just trying to add two rooms on the back. We're trying to get this variance to accommodate her, but this is kind of my first time here, you know.
Understand. What's the name of this subdivision?
Cottonvale.
Cottonvale.
Okay. Yes. It's right off Cottonvale Road.
Do you have any other witnesses this morning, Mr. Haynes?
No, sir.
All right. Does any member of the board have questions of Mr. Haynes?
Mr. Haynes, this is Corinne Ross. I wonder if you considered any other drawings that might help us to perhaps place this addition more cleanly inside of the lines?
Well, no. The homeowner has contacted the architect and got her own drawings, and she came to me with that. But no, ma'am, I haven't.
Okay, I apologize for my ignorance about the layout of the house. I just didn't know whether we could move things a little bit one way or the other in order to comply with the zoning ordinance.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Let me state for the record that Ms. Ross is now with us. So we have another member of the board.
I've been here. Y'all just have me on mute.
It couldn't be operator error, could it?
Heavens, no.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Ask Ms. Everett.
Yeah, there was a problem with the audio, and I've asked Marcus to kind of have the presentation summarized at the end so that everybody who was on here could actually hear it. Thank you.
Okay, so the way I understand from staff, that according to the area and the perimeters that are in your drawings, this property can go up but not out. So if you were to add a second story, you would be within the confines of the guidelines for zoning. However, to build out is where we're encroaching. Is that?
Okay.
And I would imagine that the homeowner, perhaps at this time, can't bear the expense because a whole different type of construction deal with adding a floor as opposed to coming out. So that's probably the issue. So I would think in this regard, in order to be in compliance, that the only option would be for the homeowner to go up instead of out. Is that fair?
Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
It appears to me that most of the homes in this subdivision are generally the same, roughly the same size. And
yes,
it looks to me that the lots are the same size. What the owner is proposing to do is to take up another third of the backyard.
Mm-hmm.
And bring that structure very close to her neighbor behind. Has anyone heard from the neighbors about this proposed construction?
Well, when the sign went in the yard, the neighbors were walking over and they were talking to her about it, and everybody seems fine with it, but that's just talking, like nothing is on paper saying it.
All right.
Seems fine, but she's had a lot of hardship and they kind of feeling for her around there. She lost her husband. So she's trying to do things herself with her kids, you know, and the neighbors are kind of, they're not opposing to it.
All right. Is there anyone online that wishes to speak this morning or ask any questions? Yes. Oh, would you raise your hand, please? Or hit the raise your hand button? None? All right. Thank you, Mr. Haynes. Is there any discussion by the board concerning this petition? And let me start it off, but I have concerns about increasing the size of this house. This looks to be a very stable subdivision. And what we're asked to do is to really create an anomaly within this subdivision, and I don't think I can vote for it. Any other discussion?
Chairman, Mr. Billiard, I can disagree with the property owner. However, if we grant this, we might as well not have any rules, because I mean this addition would be 5 foot from the back fence. I mean, there wouldn't be enough. I just don't really understand it, and I couldn't vote for it.
I sympathize with the owners and empathize with her plight. But it appears to me that the vertical solution would be better in this instance. So, any other discussion?
I would concur with both of you gentlemen. I just feel like, as sympathetic as I am to the owner's situation, we're establishing, if we vote for this, we're establishing a precedent that the rest of the neighborhood could just take off and run with, and then you totally change the feel of the neighborhood. It becomes very, very crowded.
The building lot size and the structure size ordinances are there for a purpose. Variances, in my humble opinion, should be small, if at all. And just appears to be a little bit more than that. So,
well, and again, I don't wish to place any additional financial hardship on the owner, but just looking at the footprint of the existing home, it appears to me that there might be, you know, an option to do something in another part of the lot, or to rearrange what she proposes to do on the backside in such a way that it could be compliant.
But that's not before us this morning.
Nope.
And we have an application for variance based upon these plans. So, do I hear a motion?
Mr. Chairman, with regret, I offer a motion in support of the recommendation from staff to deny this encroachment.
Okay. Do I hear a second?
Second.
All right. Roll call vote. Mr. Pelote?
Aye.
Chairman votes aye. Ms. Ross?
Aye.
Mr. Nertricka?
Aye.
And Mr. Vineyard?
Aye.
So the vote was to deny the variance, and I wish the owner well, but we need to have other options in this case. Okay.
Excuse me, I'm just going to go through the summary for the people who were unable to hear the beginning of the presentation. That's appropriate for you.
Were there people listening?
This person was.
Okay. Who is this person?
Corin.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
I know you're there, Corin, but all right.
There are 11 other people. There are 11 other people online.
Oh, okay. That's what I thought. Ms. Everett was mentioned that there was a technical problem with the hearing of the beginning of the presentation.
Okay.
So I'll go over it briefly. Sorry.
Go right ahead, Ms. Lita.
So this is this variance request that was just denied by the board is a variance to the minimum rear yard setback requirement. The request is to construct an addition to the principal building. The proposed addition would encroach into the required 25-foot minimum rear yard setback, 19 feet and 1 inch at 5 Valleydale Way, leaving a remaining 5 feet and 11.5 inches as a rear yard setback. And here are some photos of the property, the front yard and the rear yard. It's 6,000 square feet in size and is located on the west side of Valleydale Way in the residential agricultural zoning classification. And they are proposing to construct a one-story addition right to the rear here, where a 25-foot is already being conforming currently with the existing building. All right, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Haynes. Go back to the drawing board. Okay. Next matter, 5651 Ogeechee Road, height variance request. Staff ready to proceed?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The request before you is a requested variance from section 4-6.1 of the Chatham County Zoning Ordinance. The petitioner is requesting a variance to the maximum height permitted. Under that section, the maximum height of a structure is 36 feet. The applicant is requesting two variances for a proposed multifamily residential development at 5651 Ogeechee Road. They're requesting a 12-foot variance to allow up to 48 feet for one portion of the development, and a 24-foot variance to allow up to 60 feet in height in another portion of the development. And again, that's from the 36-foot maximum. This is a tax map of the two parcels. These parcels are approximately 18 acres in size on the east side of Ogeechee Road between Derrickin Road and Cottonville Road. The zoning classification of these properties is R315. That's a multifamily designation that allows up to 15 units per acre. And that zoning was established earlier this year. The development pattern in the area of the subject property is somewhat sparse. Immediately adjacent to the property on the south is a commercial landscape nursery. Immediately adjacent to the north is a church and a vacant parcel. This is a concept plan that the applicant provided during their rezoning process that outlines the proposed buildings and layout for the development. So mentioned under the current zoning, the maximum permitted height is 36 feet for multifamily residential. And as I think have discussed with this board in the past, the recent past, because there's been a number of requests for height variances for multifamily development in the county, the current requirement is the original maximum height that was developed when the county zoning ordinance was written. That number is, I guess, for lack of a better term, is under review by staff right now. We're probably going to be proposing a amendment associated with height. Currently, you can build a three-story building in 36 feet, but it does limit your choices from a design standpoint with roof pitch, et cetera. And we do find that some relief is probably warranted with current design alternatives for particularly multifamily development. It's less of an issue with single family, but we're seeing more height that's typical in multifamily now than in the past. And this regulation as it exists today was somewhat tied to fire protection before, which is not as necessary now. There have been other multifamily developments in the Ogeechee Road corridor that have been developed in the last few years. A number of them have received height variances. The petitioner's request specifically on building two, which is the building highlighted in yellow, that building's proposed to be four stories, and they're requesting it that building be up to 60 feet. The remaining buildings, buildings 4-11 outlined here, are proposed to be three stories in height, not to exceed 48 feet. The concept plan, this concept plan, which was submitted during the rezoning process, as you can see, does emphasize a lot of open space and passive recreation areas, approximately 2 acres. The applicant has chosen not to use that property for development. Based on their experience, they find that the highly amenitized open spaces are a value added for their residents. And that's the reason you can see the building layout is the way it is, and the amount of open space is here. Although this property could increase its developable area to increase the building footprint and reduce height, netting the same number of units. But we believe from a planning standpoint, that option is less desirable than an increase in height, frankly, at this location, with not a lot of developed property adjacent to it and very little impacts. However, we're the only action that's being considered by the board today is the height issue. In review of the criteria for rezoning, staff does find that there is adequate justification for relief from the height standard. However, we believe that the proposed height, particularly of the four-story building, exceeds what is needed to achieve four stories, and design alternatives could be considered to lessen the overall height. So with that, we are recommending denial of the petitioner's request, which is the variance to include height up to 60 feet, but we are recommending approval of an alternative. Let me pull up our my staff report here. The alternative we're recommending is approval of a building height up to 50 feet to be permitted on the subject property, with the condition that no building be within 50 feet of a property line. We've had a discussion with the applicant, and they are in support of the staff recommendation as well, the alternative recommendation. And with that, I'll be happy to answer any questions.
All right. Anyone on the board have any questions of staff?
When is the timeline for perhaps changing the zoning ordinance?
Well, I would suggest that staff will be making a recommendation in the first quarter of next year. So I think that will be up to the county at that point, but we will be bringing something forward likely in January or February. Okay, that process will include going to the MPC prior to being heard by the county commission.
This is the chairman. How does your intended changes or amendments compare to Savannah?
Very similar, probably identical, frankly, in terms of the number.
Okay. Can we go back to the, I guess the overhead photograph, the parcel immediately to the north, that has the RA zoning label on it?
Yes, sir.
Do we know who owns that? And
let's see, I can find that out for you. Give me a second here.
It would seem to me that they would be the most impacted.
And while you're looking for that, Marcus, is there any plan to put a traffic light in front of this development? If so, whose responsibility is that?
Let me say this regarding traffic, Ms. Ross. There's been a lot of discussion about traffic in this particular area based on some rezonings that have taken place. I'm going to actually, when the time is appropriate, ask the petitioner's engineer to come up and speak about that, because they have been in discussion with GDOT regarding this particular portion of Ogeechee Road. And I think he's got some information that will be relevant to that. But to answer your question, if it is determined that a traffic light was required specific to a development, then it would be the developer's responsibility to make that arrangement. However, my understanding is that based on existing traffic lights and the distance between them, it's GDOT's position that a light is not necessary at this time.
Thank you, Marcus.
All right. My understanding, this is a concept plan. A general site plan has not been proposed.
Correct. Yes,
yet,
sir.
Correct.
And the property, I think that was you were asking about, Mr. Corsi, was shown as owned by adjacent church.
Okay. All right. All right. Any other questions of staff?
Marcus, you said the petitioner has agreed to staff's recommendation.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Who is here to speak for the petitioner this morning?
Good Good morning, Mr. Chair. Josh Yellen here today on behalf of Arlington Properties. We do have members of the development team with us, along with Michael Roach from Thomas & Hutton, who is acting as the project engineer. And we are in agreement with the staff recommendation. After we read the staff report, we reanalyzed the plans and made sure that we could be compliant with the 50-foot height limitation as requested by staff. It should be mentioned, and as it states in the staff report, that this is the exact same variance that has been approved for two other properties on Ogeechee Road in the near vicinity. It should also be mentioned that in July of this year, this board approved an identical request for the Gray Cliff Apartments to go to 50 feet. So we do think that we can meet the standards. We know that the ordinance is a little outdated based upon a 1962 fire ordinance, which was probably based upon the height of ladders that they had on the trucks at the time. As we move forward into the 21st century, this seems to be the prevailing height request for these multifamily developments. As you can see on the site plan, this is a little bit of a unique site plan in that it prioritizes green space. I've had to explain to numerous people who have seen this plan that the large green swaths in the middle are not, in fact, our buildings. That is the almost park-like area in the middle, and that this site will be broken up into smaller buildings, which, as you can see, are roughly the same, you know, lot dimensions as single family homes. They're not overly large buildings. We also have prioritized in the rear of the property the dog park and the open space that will be preserved back there, but don't want to take up too much time today because we do agree with the staff recommendation for the 50-foot height limitation, not within 50 feet of the property line.
All right. Do your engineers have anything to add this morning?
Mr. Roach is here. I know that Mrs. Ross had a question about the traffic, and that was an extensive conversation we had with the county through the rezoning, and I can let Michael address that.
All right. Very good. Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for having us here. Yeah, my name is Michael Roach. I'm a civil engineer with Thomas & Hutton. Yes, we went through extensive conversations with GDOT, the county, all during the rezoning process. And basically what the ultimate recommendation was, I think from everybody, was that the property would be best suited and the most safe to access, way to access the property to be established a right in, right out for this development, which is what we're currently proposing. As far as signalization goes, there's not enough, there's not gonna be enough traffic generated by this development alone in order to be able to actually warrant a signal. However, the county is, I know extensive is pushing, they mentioned in the commission meeting, I think they are really pushing to have the analysis performed at Derrickin Road, which is just, I guess, east of this down Ogeechee, and looking at possibly having a signal warrant done there.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Thank you, Mr. Roach.
Yes.
Corin, do you have any questions?
No, I'm sorry. I just said thank you, Mr. Roach, and I must have pushed the wrong button. Sorry.
All right. With respect to this proposal made by staff, the concept plan indicates that the building closest or close up to the front on Ogeechee Road would be four stories. Would this agreement from staff also allow the other buildings to be increased to four stories?
Well, the recommendation from staff is that for the property, buildings not exceed 50 feet. So it would be up to the applicant to determine which of those buildings would be what height, but they would not be allowed to exceed 50 feet anywhere on the property outside of that 50-foot perimeter.
All right. So the answer is yes.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Is that the developer's intent? Are we done? Do you know? Mr. Yellen?
The intent is still just to have the one four-story building, not to make all the okay. buildings four-story. And the density, I should mention, has already been set for this property. So going four stories and all the additional buildings, we wouldn't have a net increase in apartments. But that's not the intent. It's right. only the one building.
Thank you.
Mr. Yellen. What is the density? How many units are we talking about?
It's 270 units, which is a density, relatively low density of 15 units per acre.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Any other questions? Is anyone online who would like to speak for or against this petition? If so, please hit your raise the hand button. Staff says there are none online. So any discussion from the board? The record is closed.
Mr. Chairman, this is Mr. Vineyard. I wish we were doing this the other way around. This is why I'm not very pleased to make exceptions to rules, because then it comes back to bite us when we have another petition seeking an exception to the rule that needs to be changed, which we all agree. I'd rather change the rule than make the exception. However, since we've done that, I think we would be hard to justify not doing it in this, which is actually, compared to the other one we approved, a much more low density change and quite a nice looking development. So after saying all that, I guess I would be in favor of approving the amended staff recommendation.
And Mr. Lotson, you're sure the staff is going to move forward with this recommendation?
We're certainly going to make a recommendation. Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman. I can't guarantee the outcome of that, obviously, sure. but that is part of our 2022 agenda.
Understood. And this would bring us in line with the city of Savannah?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Any other discussion? Any questions? Hearing none, do I hear a motion?
I thought Mr. Vineyard needs to make a motion.
Someone needs to make a motion to, I think it would be to approve the settlement.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion that we approve staff recommendation for the need for design alternatives.
All right, we're going to have to define that a little more here.
Okay.
Let's look at
I put the recommendation
staff's on the screen. Final recommendation here. Hold on. Let me find it.
It should be on your screen, Mr.
All right. So, Mr. Chairman, staff recommends denial of petition and request as approval of an alternative as follows. So the based on the recommendation of information available, which in the post. So recommendation is for approval of the alternative.
Let's go at this a different way.
Okay.
Let's have two votes. First, let's consider the recommendation to deny the petitioner's request as presented. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I'll do that.
Sure.
Happily. Mr. Chairman, I would move that in line with staff's recommendation and the other verbiage that's we've heard today, that we deny the initial request for variance.
All right.
Second.
Your second to that.
Second.
All right. All in favor of the denial of the petitioner's original request, say aye.
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 All opposed. All right. So we have a denial of the original request. Now, next matter on the floor is the approval of staff's suggested alternative.
Mr.
Do
Chairman,
I hear a motion for that?
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve staff's recommendation for an alternative.
And the alternative being a building height up to 50 feet shall be permitted for the subject property with the condition that no building shall be within a 50 foot or within 50 feet of a property line.
Agreed.
Okay. Do I hear a second to that motion?
Second.
All right, Ms. Ross seconds it. All right. All right. Let me take a roll call vote on this. Mr. Pelote?
Aye.
Chairman votes aye. Ms. Ross?
Aye.
Mr. Vineyard?
Aye.
And Mr. Notricca?
Aye.
All right. Thank you. That motion is approved. So you may build up to 50 feet with a 50-foot setback. All right. Thank you. Any other business this morning?
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman. We are going to have a short presentation from Historic Preservation Office. But before I do that, I'm going to ask this gentleman to my right to stand. This is Jaquel Johnson. He joined us as a planner on yesterday. So this is his first CBA meeting. He joins us from the city of Atlanta. So he's we're happy to have him on board as a part of our team.
Well, welcome to Savannah.
Welcome to the first
round. That's right.
And with that, I'm going to introduce Leah Mahalik. She's the Historic Preservation Officer. Every year for the last few years, the Historic Preservation Department has put together an annual calendar. And this year's calendar is based on, as you can see, Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil. And I'll bring her forward to give you the rest of the story.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
For those of you that haven't met me, my name is Leah Mahalik, as Marcus just said, and I'm just going to give you a quick digital look at the calendar. You all will get a physical one as well, which are being printed as we speak. So we'll get those to you when they're done. So it is approximately the 25th anniversary of Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil. It's sort of between when the book and the movie came out right now. So the 25th anniversary. So we highlight a lot of local folks and discuss different parts of the movie and the book. And of course, each month highlights holidays as well as all of the, excuse me, sorry, I've had a cold that I can't get rid of. Excuse me, as well as the Planning Commission meetings and our three historic boards. So we highlight Bonaventure Cemetery, Jim Williamson himself and his history, the parks and squares that are featured in the book and movie, Jim Williams's preservation work, which you know, that was his profession, and a number of the buildings that he saved and restored. The Lady Chablis, and other Savannah locals. So Valerie Bowles, who Minerva was based on, and we highlight Mayor Floyd Adams Jr. as well. He was a big proponent of excuse me, of the film industry at the time. And as you all might know, this film sort of paved the way for the film industry in Savannah. Thank you. So the Mercer Williams House, which was Jim Williams's home. Savannah Society, so some of the social places featured in the book and film. And then the trials of Jim Williams. Local businesses featured. And specifically the Armstrong Kessler, now the Armstrong Kessler Mansion, which was not only a building that Jim Williams saved and restored, but prominently featured. And then, of course, our thanks and listing of the Historic Preservation Board members and staff. Anybody have any questions? And you, of course, will be able to read and look at that in depth at your leisure once you have your physical copy. So, thank you.
Just a comment. I see that Sonny Seiler is pictured prominently.
He was.
And I don't see any member of this board's photograph on this camera at all.
And who did you all play in the movie?
I must have missed that one.
For those of us who have practiced around Mr. Seiler for many years, perhaps his dog Ugga would be a better better visage here on this.
Well, he Ugga is discussed in the text. But.
Well, I was an extra.
Who was it? Who was an extra?
Corin Ross. But just in one of the little bitty scenes.
Well, I didn't know that. I definitely would.
That's okay. I'm perfectly happy to remain anonymous. I do think you should have all of our meeting dates on the calendar, though.
Yeah. So we will look in that, look at that for future calendars. Okay, so it was sort of a historic preservation department, but we've been slowly expanding into the whole MPC year by year. So we'll work on that for future future years.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Any other business, Mr. Lonson? Hearing none, we will call the meeting adjourned.
Merry Christmas, everyone.